All right, good morning. Let's look in John chapter 11 this morning. All right, John chapter 11. I'm going to read a little bit here. Try to read it kind of quickly. It's a lot of verses here. I don't normally read this many verses, but I want to read the first part of this chapter so that I can preach out of the latter part of the chapter. So let's start reading in verse number 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. That's a pretty good attitude, isn't it? Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Now let's pray right there. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. We ask you to meet with us here for just a few minutes this morning. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach. And Lord, I'm a little under the weather, and I pray, God, that you'd help me and sustain me and allow me, God, to say that which must be said. And I pray, God, that you'd help these to hear what they must hear this morning. Lord, you said there was power in the preaching of the gospel. Lord, you said it was the power of God unto salvation. We pray that that might be possible here this morning. If there's one that's not a believer, I pray, God, that you would help. And Lord, those of us who are believers can take very much away from this passage of Scripture. And I pray you'd help us with it, that you'd guide us in it, God, that you would direct the rest of our lives, God, revolving around this topic of a resurrection from the dead this morning. I thank you and praise you for all that you do. Ask you to be with me and help me now, God. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, that's a lot of reading. I don't normally do that much reading, but this morning I thought it would be good to read you the whole story there so that when we picked up in verse number 38, nobody was lost. Nobody didn't know what was going on. Amen. And then if you're really spiritually lost, I hope you'll really pay attention to this because this story has a lot to say about that. And if you're saved, I'd like you to pay attention this morning because you might be saved, but you might not be living in the very best circumstances that you could if you was following the Lord as you ought to. And that is something that we want to get across here as well. But it says here in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. In verse number 37, it said this man might could have done something for Lazarus if he was here. That's what verse 37 says. It says, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have died? Now, I could say that as well. Jesus could do a lot for you. Amen. Jesus could really do a lot for you. And we're here this morning. A lot of us are here with a very special thought in mind, the resurrection. Easter Sunday, Christmas. Christmas doesn't fall on a Sunday very often, but every so many years it falls on a Sunday and people show up for church. And then if it's on Monday, maybe they'll come. And if it's on Thursday, maybe they'll come. But people generally come to church on Christmas and Easter, even if they're not saved, even if they are lost, even if they are backslid, they'll usually come on Easter or Christmas. Now, Easter Sunday, we usually talk about the resurrection. We read about the crucifixion and what a terrible thing that was physically, but what a blessing it was spiritually that Jesus took our penalties upon himself. The Bible says he bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. He bore our griefs. And Jesus took a lot on himself when he died on the cross for us. And we could spend time talking about the crucifixion this morning. And I'm sure everybody in the building's heard something. Boy, if you haven't heard about the crucifixion of Christ, I recommend you get a sermon or get your Bible out and read about the crucifixion of Christ. It was a terrible thing. The Bible said that there was no man marred like that man was marred, like Jesus Christ was marred. They beat him and they crucified him. And he done that in your place. He done it in my place. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And Jesus took that death upon himself. We're going to talk about that a little bit here this morning, but we'll start in verse number 38. It says, Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. Now, the chief thing here is that Jesus is groaning for their condition, not just Lazarus' condition, but here's Mary and here's Martha and here's all these Jews. The Jews are saying, if Jesus was here, he could have made a difference. And Mary is saying, if you were here, you could have made a difference. And Martha was saying, if you were here, you could have made a difference. And mostly people that are here this morning, come, whether you're lost and come in or whether you're saved and come in, you're thinking about the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you want to focus on the resurrection because it's Resurrection Day. You want to focus on the resurrection because it's Easter Sunday. But I'm telling you, Jesus is not concentrating on his own resurrection. He's concentrating on your resurrection. Your resurrection. Now, that literal instance where Jesus was crucified, that mattered a lot. It certainly did. When they put Jesus in a borrowed tomb, that matters a lot. And when these ladies, the same ladies that's in this passage of Scripture, when they come to the garden very early and found that Jesus wasn't there, that was a big deal. It certainly was a big deal. But I'm telling you, since that time, the Lord has taken the emphasis, not his glory, not his credit. He's not trying to diminish that, but he's taking the emphasis of that great event and taking it off himself and put it on you. If you're here to celebrate or if you're here to think about the resurrection of Jesus this morning, I'm telling you that Jesus would rather that you think about your own resurrection because that's the purpose for which he died. He died because the wages of sin is death. You're supposed to die. Therefore he died. He was buried because every person in this room is going to have a grave one of these days. Only thing that gets you out of that, it'd be if the rapture took place today. You believe in the rapture? Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I believe in the rapture. Some folks say that it couldn't be the rapture because the rapture couldn't actually take place because after you get on into the book of Revelation and you get on down through there, it says that there are folks who are raised from the dead, and they call that the first resurrection. That's talking about the resurrection of believers and the resurrection of those Jews and different things like that. But the reason it doesn't call the rapture the first resurrection is because you raised with Christ. When you trust Christ, you're raised with him. Amen. You come up with him. And we got a life here in the flesh, but we count that to be dead. We count ourselves to be dead, and we count ourselves to be risen again with Christ. Amen. As soon as I believe, the Lord wrote it down in his book, that the day that Jesus rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. As soon as Brother Joe believed, God wrote it down in his book and said that the day that Jesus rose from the dead, Joe Tuck raised from the dead. And the day that Bryce trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, the Lord took out his book and said, the day that Jesus rose, Bryce rose from the dead. And that's what God's interested in. God went through the suffering. He died on the cross. He went to the grave and he rose again. Not that we could come, and now truly the Bible does give us a mandate to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we talk about across the front of this table here. It says, this do in remembrance of me, if this is the normal Baptist table. Yeah, in remembrance of me. And so Jesus said that you're to remember his death and his burial and his resurrection when you take the Lord's Supper and things like that. But I think the most important thing that the Lord wants us to deal with here on a resurrection morning or here on any Sunday morning is our own death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the rest of this passage really deals with. Now, if you hold your place there and just turn over one page, John chapter 12 and verse number, we'll look in verse number 9. He says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now there's something in this resurrection of Lazarus that preaches the gospel. And a lot of these Jews believed simply because they saw Lazarus walking around after he was dead. Now, I don't know, there's only a few circumstances in which I want to see anybody walking around after they're dead. Amen? And the resurrection is going to be about the only thing I want to see dead folks get up about. Amen? If folks start getting up out of the grave before the resurrection, I'm going to find myself a place to run and hide. Amen? But this is a kind of a peculiar instance here. People went to Lazarus' sick bed and tried to comfort him, and then they went to Lazarus' funeral and tried to comfort the family, and then they went home and remembered Lazarus, and then next thing you know, Lazarus was walking around town. Yeah, kind of peculiar. And from time to time I read this passage, and I remember over in Luke chapter 16, you remember there's a rich man in Lazarus, not the same Lazarus, right. But there's a rich man in Lazarus, and the rich man died and woke up in hell. And he begins to talk to Father Abraham. I don't know how all that came about, but I believe it. And Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water so that he can cool my tongue. And just to use modern day language, Father Abraham said, it ain't happening. It ain't going to work that way. And you're supposed to get your comfort while you're here. Yeah. Amen. We could preach on that a little while, but it'd make the sermon longer. And I can't preach no long sermon today because I'm about to pass out. I'm going to have to stay right here and hold on to this pulpit. But he says, well, then, if you're not going to send Lazarus to comfort me, he said, how about sending Lazarus down to my brother's house? He said, I got some brothers, and if you'll send Lazarus back, he'll tell them not to come to this place. And Father Abraham says, no. He said, if they don't believe in the prophets, he said, they're not going to believe if one rise from the dead. And, you know, I read that several times, and then I would read this passage, and I would say, well, it don't make much sense, because here's Lazarus, and he rose from the dead, and lots of people believed because he rose from the dead. But there's not really a contradiction there, because Abraham didn't say that nobody would believe if somebody rose from the dead. He said if they don't believe the prophets, they won't believe if somebody raises from the dead. And so that's a great key here this morning. If you'll look over with me, and just for, now hold your place, because we'll be coming right back here. And let's look in Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter 3. I just want to read you a quick verse over here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24. And it says this, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now the law is supposed to teach us lessons, and it's supposed to bring us to Christ. Now, you know, we could boil the law down, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, all these things, honor your father and mother, that it be well with you and you live long upon the earth. Those are rules. We just boil it down and say rules. When we talk about the law of Moses, when we talk about the law of God, we just call them rules. Now, that's a very interesting subject, because there's no use in having rules if people are perfect. Rules are for rule breakers. You tell your kids to come in at 10 o'clock, or if you're extra mean, 7:30. 10 o'clock's too late, in my opinion. What are you trying to get away from your parents for anyway? Amen. Well, I'd like to throw in all the options while we're talking about the subject. But from time to time, folks get older and they want to go visit friends and this and that and the other thing. What's wrong with parents as friends? Amen. We put our kids through homeschool. And very early, people was arguing about homeschool. You know, they're not going to be socialized. They're not going to know how to get along with people. And I said, I'm people. Amen. So they learned their social skills from me, so don't hold it against them too bad. Amen. But at any rate, you put rules on them. You tell them to come in at 10, because if you didn't, they'd come in at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. Yep. Amen. You say, what is that? That's the law. That's what we're going to talk about in the book of Proverbs over the next couple of weeks. Obey the law of your mother and the law of your father. Those are just rules. And God gave people rules like the Ten Commandments, because you're rule breakers. Perfect people don't need rules. The very foundation of this country is based on self-control. That's why the Constitution has very little rules in it. But as people become unruly, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the further a country gets away from the Lord and the less self-control they'll have, you'll have more rules and regulations. When a country doesn't like to follow God, God's always going to have a Nebuchadnezzar to come along. And in some way, fashion or form, get God's own will done through a matter. God said to the children of Israel, he said, I told you that ever so often you're supposed to let this land rest, and you haven't let it rest. He said, so I'm going to take all these 70 years worth of rest that you've robbed this land, I'm going to put you over in another strange country, and this land's going to lay and get its rest. I'm going to have my way. You're going to be in captivity. So Nebuchadnezzar got to tell him what to do for a little while, and the land of Israel got rest. I'm amazed at how the American people, the more self-centered they get, how the Lord allows liberal government to come in and share your money. One possibility, isn't it? Well, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And when people have the constraints, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, what's the topic of that verse? It's death. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Constraint, self-control, rules, regulations. Well, the love of Christ constrains us, or maybe the government constrains us. Or maybe the law of Moses constrains us. Whatever the case, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say this morning is that rules were given for rule breakers, not perfect people. And he says, we read the passage in Galatians. It said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You remember the story of Moses, how that he went up on the mountain, and that when he come down off the mountain, he had these two tablets of stone, and he saw a party going on. Like, that's the reason you make your kids come in at 9 o'clock instead of 2:30 in the morning, because in your absence, they're going to party. Moses come down off the mountain, and they're having a party and worshiping false gods and all such things as that. And they had, you may not think it's in context, but they had teenager excuses when Moses came down. At any rate, he broke the tables of stone. He goes down there, what's going on here? He said, well, we just happened to throw some gold in this oven that come out shaped like a calf. Yeah. That's a teenager response.
Yeah. Amen.
What's all these alcohol bottles doing here? I don't know. Amen. I had my license a couple of weeks and run my car off a bridge. The state trooper said, what happened? I said, I fell asleep. Teenager response. That was a lie. It was a bald-faced lie. Mm-hmm. I claim to have gotten over lying when I was about 8 years old, but one slips in every once in a while.
Yeah.
Amen. The state trooper took one look at me and one look at the road and said, no, you didn't. Amen. Teenager responses. Well, we have such teenager responses, don't we?
Yeah.
Hey, you need to be saved. Well, I'm a good person. You are?
Yeah.
Well, how come you're going to die? The wages of sin is what?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not a good person. You're not a good person. And the law was our schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster. The rules are our schoolmaster. The rules tell us, Brother David, we're not good people.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, I hate going to a church where there's all these rules. The whole planet's got rules. Don't bring food and drinks in the sanctuary. Oh, they're so mean. No, we just don't like to clean the carpet every 5 weeks or every week. Rules are because you're spillers. Amen. Got your drink tucked up underneath the pew there and get all excited and kick stuff all over the place. That's why. Why don't they want? Well, besides, it's also God's place. It might have a little bit to do with it too. But that's what rules are about. All these rules. Well, quit breaking the rules then.
Yeah.
Amen. No, I'm with you. You can go overboard with that. You can go overboard. I think sometimes parents go overboard with it. Sometimes, but you still got to honor them and obey your parents and all this. I'm not giving you an excuse to be disobedient. I'm just saying sometimes people go overboard with it. Amen. That's true. Sometimes people make up their own rules that don't make good sense. Amen. And the younger you are, the better you are at pointing them out to. They had this strange rule when I was in the Marine Corps about being on time for formation. You mean to tell me it's not okay to be 3 seconds late?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the way I look at things generally. You have this clock, it's got all these numbers on it. If it's 7 o'clock formation, and like the clock strikes seven, and that it's still 7 o'clock until that second hand gets all the way back around, and that other thing goes click, now it's 7:01, you're late.
Yeah.
It's 7 o'clock. I got there at like 7:30. I'm writing you up. It's still 7 o'clock, but that ain't the way. No, sir. They were fundamentalists in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. I went to work one day, and I had forgot to put my chevrons on my uniform. That's bad. Evidently, if you have a uniform without chevrons, the world will come unglued at the seams, and everything will not be right in the universe. They made a large deal over that. It cost me $700. $700. Seven. $100. Two pieces of plastic on a uniform. Fundamentalist. What fun I had on the day that they called in all the short-timers and said, would you like to re-enlist? Absolutely not. Amen. Matter of fact, I saved up leave time so I could get out a little early. But at any rate, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Rules. Rules are there for a reason, because you're a rule breaker. And listen, if you live in a family where you got like tons and tons and tons of rules, you might have an overbearing parent, but you might be a rascal. You ever thought of that? Have you ever thought about that? It might be you. My parents are so mean. No, your parents gave birth to the devil. That's why you've got so many rules. Listen, I've got three girls. I've never given them a bedtime. When I was coming up, I had to be in bed at 7:30 every night. Friday night, too? Friday night, too. Friday's a night, ain't it? 7:30. 7:30. What are you complaining about? 7:30. That's almost as bad as $700. 7:30. I never told my girls when to go to bed. This boy Reese, I'm telling you, he's going to have bedtime. And a lot of other restrictions. Listen, if somebody tells you males and females are the same, they are a liar. They are foolish. They're an idiot. They are not the same. They are not the same. I'm sure there's some bad girls somewhere, but in my household, the girls are okay. The boys are rotten. Rotten. So as a consequence, that little kid's saying amen somewhere. As a consequence, get more rules, more regulations. You ever wonder why liberties are disappearing in America? Because you don't know how to act.
Yeah.
Amen? I thought I'd throw that in. It's all free. He says this, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. I'm glad Jesus come to my grave one day. Yes, sir. Little grave, little mill house down in North Carolina. And little old lady come by one day and knocked on the door, invited us to church, started coming by and bringing the bus by the house. And it was a little van, but it was the bus ministry. Started bringing us to church. That was just as good as if Jesus come by my grave, called me out of my grave. Yes, sir. You said, what did he do? He said, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave. And a stone lay upon it. It seemed like another grave we'll read later on in the book of John. So it's like Jesus' grave, doesn't it? It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Remember I told you about Mary, about Moses, come down with the tables of stone. You know what's in your way of being alive this morning, of being saved this morning, of being born again? You know what's in people's way? That set of rules. As long as you're dealing with that set of rules, you're going to be guilty.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Amen. You're going to be a liar as long as that set of stones is in the way.
Yep.
You know why you hate rules? Because rules, listen, they call the devil the accuser of the brethren. The devil's the accuser of the whole human race.
Yes, sir.
But there's another accuser you're going to have to deal with, and that's that set of rules. As long as there was a rule that said I had to be there at 7 o'clock at formation, you know what I was? I was no good for nothing because I was often late. This would be a happy time in the Marine Corps if I wasn't late all the time. You say, how come you was late all the time? Because I wanted to be late. You know why I had some trouble in the Marine Corps? Because I did what I wanted to do. Now, I did my job. I did a good job. I got all kinds of achievements and different things like that, but also got a lot of Article 15s. You said, why? Because I did what I wanted to do. You said, what was the problem? 18 years old. 19 years old. Well, Brother Mike, I'm 20. You're stupid too. Well, I wouldn't want to cast no blanket statements, but most of us pretty silly still at 20 years old and 21 and 31 now that I'm 50. And when you get 50, and when you get, I suppose I have never been 51, but I suppose the older you get, anybody younger than you looks pretty silly. Amen. But you know, they just hadn't learned the things you've learned. And I think most people never even look at the law of God and consider the fact, hey, maybe he gave us these rules for our benefit. Yep. Just like I had to learn while I was in the service that those rules about being there at certain times and looking a certain way benefited not just me, but a lot of other people besides me. At which point, when I learned that, things went a lot smoother. It's just some of us have to learn lessons like that the expensive way. Some of us just hard-headeder than others. Amen, if you'll pardon the made-up word. Jesus said, take away the stone. You know, Jesus is the one to take care of those rules for you. Amen. I will agree with you that it's hard living under rules, and it makes you upset living with the rules and all sorts of things like that. Why don't you get saved and let Jesus take away some of those rules? Amen. Amen. Jesus said, take away the rules. And you know, there's always going to be some Christian standing around like one of these ladies. That one of these ladies standing by and Jesus says, take away the stone. She goes, hey, but he probably stinks by now.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Bring somebody to church. We're going to try to get them saved. We're going to try to get them to do right in some other. Oh, that guy stinks. That guy's hair is a little bit too long. I don't know if God could do anything with him or not. The man is going to raise her brother from the dead. Yeah. Don't take away the stone. He probably stinks.
Yeah.
Can't get him out of the grave if you don't take away the stone.
Yeah.
I say you can't get out of the grave unless somebody takes away the stone.
Yeah.
Some people have been saved for years, years and years and years, and they still live by the stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you realize if you're saved here, you're free from that law? That law is not some table of stone. You got to follow the rules. That stone is a lively hope now living in your heart. The author of that stone lives inside. And he's saying, don't do that. Wouldn't you rather have the rules come from the inside somewhere and say, don't do that. Don't do that. It's got to be on the inside. You know, when I growed up, I looked at my uncles, my great uncles, my cousins, they were all Marines, come home and dress blues. Woohoo, I'm going to join the Marines. What, for a uniform? You're a dummy. That's not the right way to go about it. I started reading books like With the Old Breed and stuff like that and looked what those guys went through and the mud they crawled through and the enemies they walked over and Belleau Wood and places like that, Iwo Jima. I closed that book. I said, these guys went through the same boot camp I went through. Boy, I'm going to be a good Marine from now on. Not because some corporal, E4, oh, that was the biggest reason for my getting out, was E4s. But at any rate, I spent the rest of my time in there doing what I could to be a good Marine, to help out my outfit, to do whatever I could do, just because I was a Marine. Not because I was trying to look good in a dress blue uniform. Well, I tried to put that thing on a couple of months back. It didn't work out too good. But it's still in my heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Just like, you know, there's a lot of people come, I'm going to go to church this Sunday, and God will probably give me some points for that. God didn't give me no points for being in church.
Yeah.
Not until you're saved.
Nope.
I think I'll go to church Christmas and Easter this year. And I'm going to put $5 in the offering plate.
Amen.
I'm covered. Now, see, you're still dealing with the stone. You're still dealing with the rules. That ain't what God's looking for.
That's right.
Jesus said, what did he say? He said, take away the stone. Listen, those rules and regulations, if you will, turn back with me and look in Romans chapter 3 just for a minute. Romans chapter 3. And let's look what it says. He says, verse number 19, Romans 3:19. He says, now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. For what reason? He says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. That's why all people under that law. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Them rules are there to prove that you're not good as God.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Listen, you could be, as far as the goodness of your life, it could measure up to here, but what difference does that make if Christ is up here? And the goodness of your life could measure up to here. But what good is that? If Christ is up here, you're coming short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You could even get up to right here, be a really good person. But you're not measuring up to the standard. The standard says this is the measure that's required. You can't get that high. You say, why not? The law applies to you. The rules apply to you. The principles apply to you. You don't measure up. You may as well ask God to take away the law and give you the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way you get in. That's the only way you get in. Let's look back in John chapter 11 and see what he says. Now, you say, Brother Mike, is salvation that simple? I'm glad it is. I'm glad it is for my sake. I'm glad it is for your sake as well. He says, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus. I believe his eyes opened right there.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe that the day I got saved, the day I got down at the altar up in front of a church and asked God to save me, I believe the Lord wrote my name, and he probably spoke it out loud when he wrote it down. Michael. My eyes come open right then. You say, why? Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't say, for whosoever shall keep the whole law. That's not what it says. It doesn't say whosoever shall put money in the offering plate. That's not what it says. It doesn't say whosoever shall come to church on Easter and Christmas shall be saved. No, it doesn't say that. It says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some people are even trying to take the prayer away these days. Oh, I don't think you got to pray. Well, the Bible says call on him.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to leave that step out.
Nope.
Well, I believe. Well, that's good. You ought to believe.
Yeah.
But call on him. I want him to say my name back to me. Yeah. Mike Easter. You say, why? Because it's at that point I believe Lazarus' eyes open.
Amen.
But you know what? He said something else after that. He said, come forth.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord probably saved some of you and you ain't come forth yet.
Yeah.
After the Bible says he comes forth, I don't know how he got out. I think he might have floated out.
Yeah.
If we get some of you out of your grave, it's going to be because maybe you floated out. I don't know. But the Bible says that he says, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth, but it says, Jesus also said, take off them bandages, loose him, and let him go. I believe there's a lot of people that saved, not been loose. Still living. We read a passage of Scripture a couple weeks ago out of Ezekiel chapter 37 about that valley of dry bones. And you know, that the end of that passage that we read, the Lord gave him a promise. He said, I'm going to bring you up out of your graves and stand you upon your feet, and you'll come into the house of Israel. Listen, you're saved this morning. You don't have to spend the rest of your life in this old grave. That world out there, it's just a grave. That image that you put on, that you present to the world, it's just a grave. It's bondage. If I don't look this way, I won't be popular. Who cares? Who cares? Listen, you got a Facebook account, you got 900 pictures of yourself. Who are you trying to impress on there? Do you walk around like that? Click, click. You know there's other things to do on this planet other than worry about your image.
Yeah,
but Mike, it's just I understand pictures, but once every hour? I'd like to tell one other fellow that hangs out around here, you don't need a Facebook update every 30 minutes. Here's a Facebook update for you. The Lord wants you to come out of the graves.
Yeah.
Are you saved? He wants you to come forth and live a new life.
Amen.
A holy life. A good life. And listen, if you're saved, there is a good life to live. This is a good life.
Amen.
You guys go to church every week. Yeah. I don't see that they don't see. I can't believe you go to church every week. Well, I can't believe you go to the bar every week.
Yeah.
They don't see the connection. And what's down at the bar? Death. Hardship. Hard times.
Right.
Fist fights.
Yes.
Regret.
Yep. Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
So far we ain't had no fist fights break out in here. Been close a time or two. We had to escort a few folks out from time to time. Amen. There was a screwdriver incident, but we took care of that before anything bad happened. Any of you folks ever went home, went to bed, rolled over the next morning? Oh, we really had a rough time last night at the camp meeting.
Yeah, how about that? Come on.
Oh, I'll never do that again. No, that ain't the kind of life we live in here. Oh, of course, I bet there have been once or twice a fellow goes, amen. And then woke up the next day, what was I thinking? Oh, you was just beginning to live then.
Yeah.
What do you think about a life to where you can come from hardship and crazy family members and bad finances and not much hope and not a good job and like $2 an hour and bad family members? And being married to a husband or a wife, and being married to a husband and a wife, and all these hardships, and then still be able to come down to church and talk about a man that died and was buried and rose again, holler and shout about things. I mean, that's a wonderful prospect to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be poor and have something to shout about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And God ain't even going to hold that against you. And then, they're such fanatics. We've had people come in the church and see people shouting and hollering. They don't come back because these guys are fanatics. Well, unfortunately, I have been to a rock concert or two. Have you ever been to a rock concert? All these people that come in say, these guys are idiots. These guys are fanatics. They get up like in front of people that are playing music. And they're down and go. And then they turn around and look for somebody to, hey, man, we're having a great time. Crack. And we're the fanatics? We're not the fanatics. Hmm. I've never been to a rap concert because that ain't music. But I have seen a few videos. Let me ask you a question. If amen and hallelujah is so bad, what does this mean? Yo, yo, yo. That don't mean nothing. That's ridiculous. They're out of their cotton. Yo, yo, yo. We played with yo-yos when I was a kid. I don't believe I can go back to that church anymore. They're too fanatical. Mm-hmm. You know what the problem is? You're still in your grave. If I keep feeling better, I might preach another hour. They're still in their graves. They're still in their graves. Get saved, come to church. Their grave rags don't change. They might not be saved. Amen? They come down, make a profession, still go back to work. And 6 months later, they still cussing and telling dirty jokes and looking at pornography. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe you got out of your grave, but maybe you moved back in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, that great event you claim to be here for this morning, that's a life-changing event. Listen, I've got sick in my body before and got well. And boy, it feels good to be well. Feels good to get healed. Feels good to have the liberty to stand up straight and walk outside and do some work for a change. Huh? It's life-changing. You get saved, man. Listen, getting saved never inspired nobody to go out and get a new tattoo. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. I'm talking about getting born again gives you a new life. You get born, you got a life to live. Josh and Kylie got this little baby. That baby was born yesterday. He's got a life to live. I don't know what he was doing before yesterday. That blows my mind. There is no way I could ever believe in evolution. I don't need a science book to even tell me one way or the other. Here's somebody that's walking around on the planet now. Of course, I hope the little kid isn't walking around yet. But you know what I mean. Day before yesterday, there was no such person. Now there they are. Got a whole life to live. And I don't know if you remember getting saved, but if you got saved by the grace of God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that day you said, Lord, save me. You got up a new person. You ain't been the same since. You never, listen, I don't know if you remember it or not, but you used to do whatever in this world you wanted to do and try to find a way you could do it some more. Now if you do it, man, I hope nobody finds this out. Man, this will be the ruin of me if somebody finds this out. Where'd that conscience come from? There's a new man living inside. You say, what was it because? Because Jesus got out of the grave. Just because Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, the very minute you said, Lord, I believe, come into my heart and save me. New fellow was born right there. Rules, listen, I'm not saying that rules don't matter entirely, but the rules aren't the thing anymore. The rules are right here now. Brother Mike, you don't cuss because you're afraid somebody will hear you cuss. No, I don't cuss because the fellow that's alive in me, he don't cuss. And when I got saved and when I said a cuss word the next time, something inside said, boy, that ain't the way to talk. It ain't the way to talk. When I got into the Marine Corps and got out of the Marine Corps, got back in church, got right with God, that's one of the biggest regrets of my life is that I didn't live for God while I was in the Marine Corps. I lived for me for most of the time I was in the Marine Corps. Then I had a little turnaround there at the end. But it's a regret. I didn't. But listen, what I'm trying to say is that when a man gets saved, when a man begins to go about his life, he has something inside that's alive that wasn't there before, and it speaks to you. It gives you the rules. It gives you the encouragement. It gives you the motivation. It gives you the peace. It gives you the joy. It gives you those things that were not there. And listen, if I was living a life where those things weren't there, I'd get down on the altar today. I'd get down at my pew today. I'd get down beside my bed today and say, God, resurrect inside my soul. Because that's what's happened. There probably never been a resurrection down inside of your soul. Amen. Amen. That's exactly what needs to take place. He says, so he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. That's what he saved you for. Let you loose. Set you loose. Amen. And that's exactly what we need. Now, let's turn over one more place. Look in Romans chapter 10 just for a second. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, amen, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto the salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, and we read it in chapter 3, that Christ was the end of the law for righteousness. Once that still small voice moved inside, and like I said before, I think it's the same way when a man gets right with God after a long time of being backslid, went to work, civilian job, cussing, carrying on, acting like a fool, just a young man, And one day I went back to church with my mother, and the preacher started preaching hot. Hey, hot, you need to get right with God. Hey, you need to follow God. You're saved. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Got down on my altar, had my little earring, and took it off. It was like a Hallmark moment. Took off his earring, left it on the altar. God don't want your earring. Take it home, throw it away. Went to work, said a few cuss words. I didn't have to go look up the law of Moses to see if it was all right to cuss. Something was alive in me. Something that had been asleep a long time. I thought, I said, hey, you know better than talking about that. Talking like that. So I watched my mouth for it. My boss man called me in one day and said, I just wanted to talk with you about something. Something bothering you? No. Are you sick? No. Well, something's bothering you. Why do you say that? He said, you ain't cussed in 2 weeks. I said, I got right with God. He goes, glory to God, I'm saved myself. That's the first I've heard of it. But, I mean, I'm not telling you not to witness, but I didn't have to go around and say, hey, I'm saved of you. I'm not saying anything bad about that. I'm just saying because God was alive in my heart and had the reins and I was loose from my grave clothes, there was something there that wasn't able to be seen before. And people saw it. And listen, when you start opening your mouth to witness and you've got the pre-witness of God living in you, makes a lot more difference. You say, what is it? Your grave clothes. It may be the grave that's holding you down. And it might be your grave clothes that's holding you down. Amen. There are Christians that are genuinely saved, but the grave clothes of this old world still got them wrapped. Still got them tangled. And listen, if you don't think it's entangling, you try to get loose from it and see the thing that goes on in your mind. Well, if I quit dressing this way, my friends might. You're in your grave clothes. You're in your grave clothes. Listen, you should see it up from up here from time to time. Just preaching along and just accidentally say something about yogurt pants. When they figure out what yogurt pants is, it's wonderful to see the light come on in their eyes. Yeah, that's them spandex things that women wear around town. It's nakedness is what it is. Mm-hmm. You start talking about stuff like that, and ladies in the church start going, that's an indicator whether you know it or not. The ladies go, amen, or you know you're good then. Yeah. I'll go over here and talk with these ladies. But when that... Yeah. No, I didn't see you. I can just tell by your face.
Yeah.
But you know that just wearing stuff like that, the immodest stuff like that, men can be immodest too. I understand that. But ladies, if you're saved, that's no way to be presenting yourself around town. You do what you want to down at your house, but man, I don't know why you would go out wearing something. Listen, maybe you're not old enough, I don't know, but they got this thing called Google. You can look up the 70s. You can look up the 60s. You can look up the 50s. Go back and look it up. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. What in the world is next? What in the world is the devil going to convince our young people to put on next that's worse than colored skin? I'm talking about pink, purple, zebra stripe, camouflage, nakedness. What's worse? What's the next thing? That's grave clothes. I think I found a spot to preach right there. You know, men. Oh, I like it, Brother Mark. I know you do, but one of these days it's going to be your wife or your daughter. There's the trap. The devil come in and get one generation. Hey, do this. This looks great. Do that. This is one. You'll get all kinds of attention. Just do this. But listen, Walk down that road if you want to. You stay bound up in the course of this world if you want to. One of these days, you're going to have a wife, and you're going to have a daughter. And God help you the day you see your wife or daughter leave the house naked, because God knows why they want to go present themselves to the world like that.
Yep.
You got any clue? You got any idea?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So what about the men? We'll get them later on today. Amen. Come out of the grave clothes, Jesus said. He said here again in Romans chapter 10, if you're having problem escaping from the grave clothes of this world, maybe salvation is the thing that you need. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be born again, shall be a new creature. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, created in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, he's created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning and praise you. I'm about half out of my mind and sick in my body this morning. Really can't put two thoughts together very well this morning, but I pray, oh God, that you take the things that have been said this morning and help. Lord, we're not trying to offend. We're not trying to make folks mad. Not trying to do anything. Just trying to let folks see, God, that the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, was a resurrection that was amazing, but it was an amazing resurrection that's supposed to set us free and supposed to resurrect us and supposed to give us new life and supposed to give us new hope and new joy and new peace and new purpose, God. Lord, I pray you'd help us to find that peace and that purpose and that joy here this morning, God. Whether we're saved or lost, I pray you'd either let us have the new life. If folks here are lost, give them that new life. Lord, if folks here are saved, Lord, living bound in the grave clothes that you found them in, I pray you'd give them freedom from those things this morning and access to the nature of Christ, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. Help us, O God, to walk according to that, to your divine nature that you've given us, to be able to overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Come ahead, preacher.
Amen. You need to come this morning. God dealt with you about something this morning. I know when Linda and I got saved, our life changed. I mean, man, first time I used God's name in vain, something inside me said, that's wrong. I quit. I asked God, help me with my mouth, Lord. Help me with my mouth. My wife and I, we was living together, kind of, you might say we was living together. We decided we're going to get married. We're going to raise our kids for God. We're going to do the right thing. Not because somebody said we had to do it, because the Holy Ghost of God inside of us started telling us. We wanted to do it because we wanted to be pleasing to God. You think about this morning, Christian. The Bible says we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are we there? Are you doing right? God sees you. He sees everything you do, everything you say. Man, don't you want to live in newness of life like the Bible says? We baptize people, we say, to walk in newness of life. You know what Christians have done? They reversed. They've gone back to the grave clothes. Going back into the tomb. Shouldn't be that way. Should be walking in newness of life. After you're saved, you should want to live for God. You should have, your Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You should have peace, joy, all those things. What happened? What happened? What happened to you? You went back to the grave clothes. You're heading back to the tomb, bound up. The Lord doesn't want you there. He came to deliver you from that. Don't go back. Father, we thank you, God, this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I pray, God, you'd help my brothers and sisters here this morning make up their mind. They want to live for you, God. You watch. You see. You know. And I pray, God, you help us, Lord. Here's it is, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. And God, a lot of Christians don't have any resurrection power in their life to overcome things in their life because they're just bound up. Help them to get unbound. Help them to cry out to you, Lord. Help them quit going to the places that's displeasing to you. Help them quit doing the things, all of us, quit doing the things that's displeasing to you. Help us, Lord, live. This world needs a witness. This world's going crazy. They need to see some light. And God, we as Christians are supposed to be light and shining for your glory and honor. And I pray, God, help Faith Baptist Church to be a lighthouse on the corner of Bryan Zion Road and Route 300 for your glory and honor. Save that one today. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. How many could say...